Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. It's a shallow evening here in South Florida at 6 p.m. This is Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm Gwendolyn Berry. And my co-host, Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson, are with me tonight, and I guess we're going to be, there's a lot to, okay, guys, there's a lot to mourn over. There's just no other way to put it. There's a lot to mourn over, least of which today at the end of the news day, we hear that he's tweeting again that, you know, there's no sense in talking to the North Korean government. Tillerson's wasting his time. This is his own Secretary of State. He's bemoaning and bemeaning him and his efforts to make peace. And this is just, I said to my little sister today, she looked at me and she just nodded her head and she said, you know, because what I said was somebody needs to take him out of office and I don't care which way it is. And of course, I don't wish harm on anybody.
Right.
But the moment I said it, I didn't really give a good goddamn. I really didn't, because all the heartache, all of what is going on under this, of course, there's always a catalyst of change. And we chose this route collectively. Let's not forget, I mean, even if they cheated their way into it, a lot of people are behind them. But the majority of American people are good, decent people, even if they are a little bit, you know, in the 50s. They still aren't this kind of mean, this kind of hating. A lot of folks think that his stance on the NFL is going to take him out. But when you start tweeting nasty things about a mayor who's walking in, you know, stomach depth water, muck, going house to house with a bullhorn, asking if everyone is there, is okay, is alive. Your heart breaks. I'm sorry.
What an absolute asshole. I can't believe this guy. And he's going to wait till Tuesday to go down there and check things out. That son of a bitch ought to have his ass in San Juan right now. Instead, he's got to go golfing at Bedminster again. God, what is wrong with this man? He's insane.
I don't think insane quite covers it, Jack. I think that what he is narcissistic, of course. Malignant narcissist.
Psychopathic.
I wonder if he isn't really truly suffering from dementia at this point. But then again, for 20 years, he has been nothing but pure ego with the press, with he's these are the little tricks he used once upon a time that became his lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
And he's a terrible, terrible person. You can't honestly understand or think that he would basically get up in the morning and feel good about the day being himself. I mean, nobody with that much indecency and unkindness in them does. You know that's true. Jack, you're a spiritual man. You know this.
Absolutely. He's a horrible man. He's a bad example. He's Satan's tool. That guy's a piece of shit. Excuse my French, but he is a piece of shit. He's worthless.
Satan's tool. Listen. I've drank with Lucy. Good people comparatively. I mean, come on. you just is, and like we were talking before this show, for 6,000 years, we've had cycles that come and go like this. But as you pointed out, nothing as epic as the moment at hand. Nothing is as epic as the moment of hand, because we have such power to absolutely annihilate ourselves. And then the son of a bitch goes today onto Twitter and says, you know, stop talking to the North Koreans, Tillerson. You know,
what an absolute idiot.
I mean, his own Secretary of State. And all I can think of the last week is, you know, and I started this show because I got so angry at him over the Gulf oil spill. And all I can think lately is, where's Bo? You know,
it's really revealing at how narcissistic this guy really is. He doesn't care about anybody. He'll throw anybody under the bus, including his cabinet, including his employees. He loves firing people. It gives him an insane sense of extreme pleasure to dominate people in such a way and just cast them aside as though they were pebbles on a beach. This guy's disgusting.
Well, he thinks he's at the Renaissance Fair. Well, we all know it's the Inquisition.
Right, yeah.
I like that. That's good.
I have to give that one to Michael Cooper, who actually just tweeted it.
That's great.
Michael Cooper is a very good friend. He's my best buddy for many years, my little brother, Asa's fella. And he's an accomplished, his shows are on Broadway, guys.
He's great, yeah.
He's a very talented young man, and he writes the funniest things. But he's like all artists right now. Have you noticed the uptick in the art, guys, in music?
It always happens.
In TV, for crying out loud, it's the golden era of television. I love dystopian, modern gothic, vampire killing crap. I love it. Takes my head away. You know, I don't have to think about the vampire killing I got to do in the morning.
Yeah, it's really these are crazy times we live in, and they're led by a crazy man in the White House who's absolutely insane, and that's too polite a word, but I can't think of anything worse.
Well, the other part about it, Jack, is too, I you know, we've all been pretty much hanging together in a loose network since the internet went up. And more of us more so than others, but have you noticed, I mean, it's like for a long time, one of our fellow writers over at RT was angry as hell at me, somebody I love dearly, because of supporting Clinton, but we made it up recently, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I've noticed that people are getting mean and angry.
I think people are real frustrated right now, and I can understand that.
Yes. Absolutely. And
there's a lot to be frustrated about.
Well, there is. And I'm starting to understand that, and it's something I've always known, you know, and Jack, this will appeal to you. I was tasked with creating a line of 9 oils for archangels years ago. And okay. I always do my research, and I knew a lot about, you know, from Enochian to Catholic to antiquated, Elantra. But I have to tell you, I was looking and searching and meditating on, you know, what really is an angel. And I work with the essential oils. They get in my genes. You know, when I go places, a lot of times, you know, people notice that, you know, when you smell like, my mom would probably say, you smell like a French whorehouse, kid. You know, I have a lot of oils on me. But I was doing this line, and I went up to the diner to have dinner near us at the shop, and there was a young couple with a little toddler paying for their meal on the way out, and I was standing, you know, probably about 12 feet away, and cute little girl, and she's toddling around. All of a sudden, she stops, she turns and looks at me with this big, bright smile, and she comes running over, and she grabs me by my leg, my pant leg, and hugs me. Of course, it was the oil she was drawn to, you know, all the scents.
Cool. Oh, okay, the smells, yes.
But yeah, a lot of sweet scents and stuff, but it's, it changed the quality of her mind. All of a sudden, she was joyful, and she's hugging me, and she looks up at me, and I realized somebody is always somebody's angel. That little girl was mine. But it's
absolutely
true.
Well, I like that story.
When you go and you're like public transportation for years now, I've used it, especially in Boston. But I can remember being in my car in Fort Lauderdale, and there was a bus next to us, and there was an elder, on the bus, and she was looking out with such an unhappy, forlorn face, and she was looking, and she looked down, and she caught my eye, and I smiled sincerely at her, and it like shocked her, but she smiled back, and I realized I made a positive difference in her day.
Yeah.
It was kind. And I think most of us are kind. And we are each other's better angels. And perhaps that's how we're going to get through this, Jack. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that Wayne, I mean, you just got two babies to put on your knees. Can you?
Absolutely. Glenn, let me interject here. One of my favorite quotes by the great poet Maya Angelou. She says, "They may not remember your name. They may not even remember what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel."
That's right.
And I live by that.
That's great.
That's a simple
smile to a stranger and a nod, saying, "I see you. I recognize you." You know.
Yeah,
and bring
joy
to them. You know, bring joy to them just by
the
simple act of kindness. You've made
their
day.
Coming up to you, you know, it's beautiful how children are—they're unabashed about that stuff. They just exude their feeling. Boom! They don't even think about it. There's no thought involved. They just react, and that's beautiful. And it's genuine. And the same thing when you just smile at somebody. It really stops them in their tracks. They're not used to that. There's so much frowning going on that when you smile somebody and mean it sincerely, it does lift their day. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Jack, you are a light worker. You know, I mean, that is being a light worker in my community. And I get so angry and so passionate about the change that we need to do on the political level that it fractures me from that reality that I walk with most of the week, well, at least 3 to 4 days of the week, of sitting here doing my thing and putting those kind of feelings into water and what I do.
Yeah.
And putting that message out there. And it seems to me that perhaps that's what's going to save us, is the kindness that we're able to give to each other right now through all of this horrible stuff, because we're all going to close our eyes one day.
As Jewel wrote on one of her albums, in the end, only kindness matters.
It's true.
It's very true.
And, you know, when I was in college, I did a lot of near-death experience and the cataloging and talking to people about their clinical death and what happened to them, and the amazing conformity of all the stories and what happened to them, you know, was unreal. But some conclusions, some very verifiable conclusions have been drawn, and there's an old saying that when you are dying, in that process, your life goes before your eyes. And basically that's true, but what happens is you get to feel how you affected others in your life from the actual perspective of the emotions of that person you were affecting.
Uh-huh.
That's why people come back after near-death experience who have been poor at folk or whatever, with a completely brand new, you know, can you imagine standing in, a friend of mine who actually wrote one of the breaking books on this subject, Danny and Brinkley, you know, he went through the experience of being, a military man and
Right.
He experienced the pain and the death that he caused. And if you don't think that won't change you from that higher perspective when you get up there and realize, you know, that was more one chapter. So my point mm-hmm. is, I'm going too far down the spook road here, and I don't mean to. But the thing is that when you make somebody feel kind, it's like when you make somebody happy like that, you bring kindness to the moment. It vanquishes.
Well, there's also reward within yourself too when you make somebody smile.
Well,
yeah. Then you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, it vanquishes so much of, we could call it, the bad karma. It does, yeah. And it does it on every level. Or as I would say to Jack, perhaps over a glass of scotch, it does it with God, and it does it with us. It's, you know, paying for your sins or whatever.
Well, I think it's important for all of us to keep a balance in our life. Yes, we want to focus on the dark the tasks ahead of us that are dark, that we want to overcome this darkness. Or this negativity, but on the other hand, we can't allow ourselves to be engulfed by it. We've got to rise above it. We've got to look for good examples and good inspiration in amongst all the crap that's around us.
And how better than to be a good heart and to do good things at least once a day, be able to, even if it's for you, and that's so important that we be kind to ourselves. You know, if you have to, go to the mirror in the bathroom and smile and say, you did a good job today.
That's one thing that just baffles me. It's like, what damage has been done to people who think that Klansmen, neo-Nazis, that in all constant infuriating hate is the way that we should be living our lives? You know, the Nazi rallies that we had there in Charlottesville, and there's, you know, and you know, trying to get into Berkeley and other places. It's like, what is so embedded hate within you that you need to make everybody like you and think the way that you do? Where's the reward?
Jack, you must know that these people, like all of us, every person walking is damaged. It's how we heal ourselves and matters, and what's missing from their childhood experience is love and kindness. I mean,
sure.
It's simplistic to say that, but it comes down to being the truth almost every time.
Well, you know, people as they age, they pick up bad habits, and one of them is a mean streak. Excuse me, a number of people just have an inherent mean streak. They've got to dominate and belittle other people, and that makes them perversely feel good. Donald Trump is a good example of that. He doesn't feel good unless he's pushing somebody around or he's making somebody be dominated, and that's sick. That's an aberration of a good person.
Do you know many people in your life, of course, like attracts like, but or birds of a feather, however you like to think of it. But in your experience, even in a broader sense of society, in your neighborhood or whatever, there's always the guy who's the mean old man or the mean old woman on the street or the mean person. But most of the houses are filled with families that go through ups and downs and
sure.
have a lot of hard times and a lot of joyful times and move and come and go, but most people are decent to one another and you're able to befriend them. We don't have that many people who I've been mean. You've been mean, Jack. I know you.
Oh, everybody has. Everybody's had
yeah,
a moment.
But it's just a part of our development. Those who hang on to it, it's the minority in society. I just like it's the minority that represents his base.
I wish we could have a psychoanalyst on the program sometime and do a number on Donald Trump and people like him that just feel they need to dominate and be in control of everything, and how really, at the root of it, how insecure they really are.
Well, they really are, but, you know, most common sense folks who are even listening with us and who are interested in what's going on really do realize that.
Sure.
They know.
The sad fact is that way too many people actually believe his nonsense or are hopeful that he will lead them somewhere. Then I don't want to go where he wants to lead us.
Well, the masses are illiterate, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there you go.
It's a truth. My mother, the New York State Republican, told me that when I was a kid. And she didn't mean it to belittle anyone. The same way she always reminded me that I was no better than anyone else. It was up to me to make myself better.
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, most people are not mean. But we will judge others. I do it every day. Good Lord. Ask Wayne. Am I going to town on him on Facebook or what? I mean, even Ron will come by and say, oh, wow, what'd you just say? And it's true. I do. And it's actually, I've had a few of my community friends go, Gwen, man, are you in crisis or something about your faith? I wonder, you know, no, I'm not in any crisis. I know who the hell I am. You know? And it's true. I do. And I've always been outspoken, and but I've always stuck to my word. And I know, as the old saying goes, I know damn good and well that I'm a kind person. My first instinct is to be kind and to help and to do what I can for somebody.
Yeah, right.
And
common sense, really.
Well, it's all wrapped up in you know, where we get a lot of who we are. I mean, our
in your character.
Well, and where do we get our first representations? Where are our models? They're at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Our parents, our aunts, our uncles, our immediate family, they're very influential on our development.
And I've known great, kind people, smart people. People right now, there's a woman who is a journalism teacher. She's an African American. Her name is Stacy Patton, and she's very outspoken, and she's very angry, but she's also very cool and calm. She's no racist, but she doesn't let anybody get away with white. You don't understand that just being white, you don't have white privilege, then
Right. Yeah.
And she's very correct, you know, in conversation we need to have. I'm also friends with, what's his name, Black Agenda Report, and Dixit. And he's very moderate with his words most times. I mean, he's very strong about his political convictions and his social knowledge. But he even gets a little, wow, that's real extreme. But, you know, it's kind of true. You know, it's but these young people like Stacy Patton, as an African-American woman, you know, all of this hate and racism that's going on in America right now. You know, Dr. King was going into Selma, and at the same time, and we all know how horrible the 60s were and what happened.
Right.
At the same time, there were African-American women, integral, intimate, to putting men on the moon. We all watched that movie this last year.
Right, that was a fantastic
movie.
Hidden Numbers or something like that was it called?
Hidden Senses. And the thing is that, see, while all this nasty shit is going down right now, Jack, there's something going on really equally as good. And it's making a balance. And that will come back around, but the thing now is it's so epic. It's like, well, we'd be here to enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of forces out there that are very, very not good and very harmful, potentially harmful to our entire world.
Oh gosh, the population alone. is the first place to start all the people on the planet. That's patriarchy. That's the Judeo-Christian Islamic ethic. You know, you go
have as many children as you can.
And that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong. Matriarchal societies do not allow that to happen, you know. They you know, it's fine. And China kind of followed in a very twisted way that matriarchal pattern.
Well, the state was real responsible for that. They limited the amount of children you could have without penalty, harsh penalty. And we don't want to go that route, but people have got to exude enough common sense to realize that they can't have a 10, 12 children family anymore. It's not sustainable.
But in his book on this great ecological author, he was on Bill Maher Friday night, and he spoke about, you know, one of our first number six in a list of 20 ways that we don't have to actually go out of our way to start prioritizing to turn back global warming and stuff and climate change. Number six is women, and women taking their own power, and women who choose not the 1950s version of a man, a rich man, going and having children in suburbia and, you know, enjoying a frivolous life where a woman can actually dedicate herself to herself as well as her family and have a career and be, you know, I'm only having one or maybe two children. And, you know, women make those choices when they are educated. And, of course, given the option of having some good, you know, primary examples in their life that, you know, demonstrate it for them.
Yeah, very well. I like that.
Well, it's true. And you know, we are looking, like Jack says, we are looking at real edges here that we've never come to before. They're, you know, out there in the galactic model, they're going to go, what went with Earth? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, where are you going to find the, I don't know. So we keep doing what we do. But I think overall the most important thing we do, Jack, is we find the time to be kind, because right now there's a little of it in the social clack.
And, you know, we do our fair share of bitching and complaining, too. But it's justified, and we're doing it with the sense of hoping that it will raise consciousness across everywhere, all of our listenership, to the point where people will refrain from engaging in that sort of thing again, ever. You know? And that's what our hope is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
So it's not that we just want to sit and bitch like a bunch of old folks pissed off at the whole world, because we're not. We see a lot of hope out there, and we're frustrated that it isn't happening.
I mean, you know, take a gal like Eleanor Caulfield and what she's up to. She uses art. She uses that expression, especially with her words. And she's
inspiring
very
in many ways.
Oh, very, especially
she
young
is
women.
She is so devoted, and she's so passionate. She's a remarkable person, really.
Oh well, yeah, she's one in a million. Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all on that. I recognize talent when I see it, but she's also a very kind person.
Yes.
She's like Cherie Hoyland.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Cherie.
You know, she had Cherie on her show recently.
I would imagine. I mean,
it took her quite a while, but she finally nailed her down and got her on the program, and it was great.
Yeah, you know, Cherie is hard to nail down. I talk to her on her phone when she's en route almost all the time.
Oh, yeah. She's very, very dedicated to activism. Both of them are.
Yes, well, you have to make – well, she was ground zero.
Exactly.
For the Gulf oil spill.
Right.
I mean, I will never forget seeing her on CNN saying, you know, President Obama, come here, see what's happening.
I remember seeing that. I remember seeing that. And I was so impressed that we finally got her on the show. That was really a treat.
Cherie's been everywhere.
I never imagined we'd have the opportunity to speak with her not only once but several times, in the same way with Eleanor Goldfield. She's been on now twice.
Well, it's you know, birds of a feather.
Yeah.
She's also Cherie's. Since we're talking about her, she had her birthday, I think, was yesterday.
Oh.
So, you know, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Cherie.
Yesterday or Friday, but she's and there are a lot of people out there like Cherie and Eleanor. I mean, a lot of young men too who are just absolutely stunning activists that would rather work too, like Eleanor Goldfield, with their art rather than get into the fray, because they have a unique, individuated, you know, message to put out that says, stop, look, and listen.
Right.
And that makes a difference. Let's talk Banksy here, you know? You guys know who Banksy is, right?
Who is it? What's
his
name?
Yes.
Banksy, the artist.
The guerrilla artist that makes some really great statements, social and economics, and he can turn up anywhere. He's really good. I was going to say, folks, if you don't know who Banksy is, and I'm going to spell it right, I think, Banksy, art, guerrilla art, on Google, you'll
cool.
see some of the finest, and go to images, you'll see some of the most interesting stuff.
Yeah, he's just a graffiti artist, but all those graffiti
artists.
That's all
he is, right, but he's fantastic at it.
Well, some of them
but
have a real flair, and that I bet Banksy does.
He's a master. He really is a master. And there are a lot of these artists were collective at the Burning Man's for years. I mean, that's what Drew Hebert or Brad Holhut. And I mean, look at him. And now he isn't quite our age. He's a little below us. He's about 10, 12 years underneath. But he is also still very active. I mean, he's one of the biggest activists I know, and he has a real gift with flow of consciousness on the radio. Uh-huh. But he's extreme left. And I don't know if he's communist or socialist, but he's a good man.
Yeah.
And he means well, and he's a kind guy. But very opinionated, and you know, has his voice out there in the world, and is in street demonstrations. So we've got so many. Let's not forget about punk patriot Asher Platt. You know, he keeps running for office in Maine on the
Great.
Green Party ticket. He holds true to it. And he's a real kind guy, but he's very passionate and very critical. And you need to be, like Jack was saying about us. It's not like we come out here hammer and tongs every Sunday to bang on everybody because we like it.
Yeah, no. No, we do have a goal in mind, and we're trying to shape it.
Yeah, it's true. And there's so many young people who are really, you know, let's remember who we are. I mean, come on, Jack. When we were that age, when we were just getting into college, you know, freshman college age or sophomore.
Right.
I mean.
Well, we knew we were attuned to the world. We knew about, because of Vietnam, we were against that. And Nixon crap, you know, we just didn't like it, and it turned us into what we are today. It made us become activists in our own way.
Right.
And
I
greatly admire these younger activists, because there's a lot of distractions out there today, especially in the world of entertainment and all that stuff. And a lot of these people, they aren't bullied by that, and they aren't carried away by it. they rise above it and they turn into great activists. And
well,
I salute them.
If you go back to the 60s and early 70s and through the 70s and look at all that, Jack, in our time, I mean, the cream rose to the top. With activists and such.
Right.
And we had our mentors who are, some of them are way still here today. I will never forget how much I paid attention to Hanoi Jane and Red.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Vanessa Redgrave. Red.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right.
And she still is an activist, actively working for art and the politics. And I don't see why you can't do that with spirituality and the politics. I will always do that. But, and there's been a lot of people who've been invested in faith who,
Martin Luther King Jr., you bet, and numbers of others. The guy that runs Sojourners Magazine is a great guy. I forget his name now. He's a good man, very good man.
Socially conscious,
fair-minded.
It's the cream always rises to the top.
But
they influence. And then there's the other side of the stream because there's polarity,
You
know? And people are somewhere in between.
Right.
The majority of people are somewhere in between.
And we're just trying to draw them over to our side. There's strength in numbers. We want them on our side.
It's true.
Well,
you know, most people don't want to go through all of the energy it takes, Jack. You know that.
That's true. That's very true.
Right.
I've met a lot of apathetic people, and I understand their apathy. I don't like it, but I understand that it's there. I understand why it's there.
Well, and you take a look at the young families and the middle-aged
families. They don't have time to be activists. They're too busy raising their children, going to soccer games and in basketball tournaments, and you name it, man.
And then getting hit from left field when a monster hurricane comes through and they see the president of the United States tweeting out the kind of things he did about a woman who's on CNN and MSNBC and even Fox, who's crying, we're dying down here. Please, please, Mr. Trump, do something.
Right.
I mean, you know, come on.
Oh, we're doing an amazing job down there. The governor of Puerto Rico called me and told me what an amazing job we're doing. What an absolute liar.
I got to ask, Jack, are you in the same union that, what's his name, Alex Baldwin is in? You all do the Trump.
that was a pretty good impersonation, wasn't it, Gwen? I liked it.
Yeah.
I was there. I was there in the moment. I laughed. I cried. It was so real.
Oh, God. No, there is something radically wrong with that man that he feels he has to go to the golf course instead of tending to his job and seeing after a natural disaster the victims. There's something radically wrong with that man. He's crazy.
You know as well as I do that for the last 50 years, Republican presidents have been just like that. They just haven't been the horse.
Reagan was an actor. He acted the part.
Right.
They followed. Maybe I'll give Daddy Bush a pass.
Yeah.
Right. But not W. W wasn't. He was a born again Christian. And I've actually had my aunt.
That's
phony
too. That's
phony. Just passed away here. Fundamentalist Christian.
In the least.
She said, I love him so much. He's just like Jesus. And I thought,
oh, God.
Well, honey, your Jesus is a whole lot different than mine.
Exactly. No, Jesus. She's got it all wrong.
Has anybody seen that wonderful commercial for religious freedom by Ron Reagan?
Yeah. I'm an unabashed atheist. I'm proud to be an atheist. I've seen that.
Ron Reagan, unabashed.
It's a foundation against religion or something.
Not afraid of burning in hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's
right.
I think I've heard Eleanor Goldfield say something like that too. Now, I don't totally agree with that aspect, but I respect their right to that opinion, and they can express it all they want. This is America.
I got a great friend, and he's a great friend to you too, who's an atheist, but he never belittles me for being a woman of spirit, and that's Mike Simpson up there in Canada.
Oh yeah, he's a wonderful man.
Yeah, I posted the Ron Reagan commercial on his page so you can see it. I don't know if he did. It's a commercial.
Well, Ron's nothing like his daddy was. Thank God. I like Ron. He's a lot more liberal.
He's the exact opposite politically,
right.
But I'll bet you $20 that he's a lot like his father as far as heart goes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Ron Reagan was a mean man. He's nothing like Trump.
Oh, no,
not at all. Trump is a mean person. He's a very mean person, and he is galvanizing.
He's calculating. He's sinister. He's very evil. He's an evil man.
He's so mean that he's galvanizing mean people and bullies.
Oh, yeah.
And that meanness in all of us that gets so frustrated, we act out sometimes in it.
Yeah, well, he unleashes it on the public, and that's a bad thing to do for anybody.
Gotcha. So, Wayne, how are things going in Ohio with all of this?
Well, to tell you the truth, a lot of people that did vote for Trump, you still have those that are diehard and, you know, still rallying and cheering for Trump because Kirkpatrick took a knee. All right, you know, they get diverted off of that. But politics-wise, the governor here is looking to float the idea of running as an independent because he says, you know, like George Will resigned his membership to the Republican Party, said, because these people are too batshit crazy, this is not what I'm about. And the same thing with the governor here in Ohio. He says, this is not my Republican Party. And,
you know, it's nice to
unless
see
they get
Kasich
their shit together,
moderating a bit, because for quite a while he was pretty far right, but he's gotten more center, and I like him a lot better today.
Well, that's just it. What had been conservative right, and not of my viewpoint, is even being disgusted by how far right this country has gone.
It's gotten way off the table.
You know, I just found out today something that really broke my heart. This asshole that actually just got, pardon me, that just got canned, Price, made it possible for the CHIP program. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
The Children's Health Insurance Program that was instituted by Hillary Clinton.
Right.
That has,
right.
And it was a real piece of pride and joy for her. Just got axed out of the allotments.
Yep.
I'm not surprised. Well, they want to do away with all the progressive elements of the 20th century. They want to completely eradicate it. They want to stick us back in about 1890. This
right.
reactionary,
right.
so-called conservative groups. These guys are whackers.
Well, the Gilded Age.
You know, when people say that, you know, all this crap that's gone on for so many years about the Clintons and everything.
Yeah.
In the 90s, when we were fighting so hard down in Fort Lauderdale to hold on to a public park that was actually it was an old tribal ground. It was a canopy of trees. It was a park called Smoker Park. And Fazanga wanted to buy it out to put in, you know, money on the river there. We had the archaeology and all of that. But you have to have, it depends on the Native Americans of the nearby tribe, which was the Osceolas there with the Seneca and the Miccosukees. And Chief Little Dove was with us, but she was middle state with Seminoles. Young Osceola and then the young tribal council head for the Miccosukees, they got balked by where you think the hard rock down there comes from, Fazanga. But we got to court because we got the money and the lawyers, and the focus was the ACLU from the First Lady of the United States, directly from her. And that was Hillary Clinton. And that was my first experience with her. Yeah. And I realized a lot of shit gets thrown in the wind, especially by Republicans. I knew what Rhett fucking was before they published All the President's Men. But Hillary said the day after the storm that the Comfort should be on its way en route to the islands in the Caribbean, and it's only grown worse. She has actually tweeted out just about every move that should have been made by president.
Right.
And she's also been on a lot of shows and very vocal in the last 2 weeks. And
that's
he's
what
really
leadership
scared.
Is all about.
Yeah, he's really scared. She's not going away. I wish Obama would get on, but it would, you know what he's probably thinking of? It would further polarize the society right now if he were to speak out, you know, real clearly on a news show or something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's typical for past presidents not to criticize their successors, but, you know, enough time has gone by now, and Trump is proved himself to be completely inadequate in his job and in his philosophy. It just does not meet the needs of this country today or in the future. This guy is a dangerous element that needs to be gotten rid of.
Well, you think about what he is actually accomplishing, though. He is actually exposing something.
The far-right agenda.
Well, while he could give a shit about the far
right
agenda.
He doesn't give a damn.
You know, I mean, look who his Secretary of State is. The guy who's going to broker him a piece of his family fortune, a piece of petroleum out of Russia. That's what it's all about there.
Exactly. And the thing is, let's get back to this. You know, I know Mueller, I want him to cross T's and dot I's and make sure he's got his case. But it's like, I'm kind of ready for this now. Let's move forward. Let's get this thing going because we've got to get this bastard stopped. And it's his criminal activities that's really going to wipe him out.
Well,
but it's not happening soon enough.
He's been a money launderer for the Russian oligarch.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Through his real estate.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's done a lot of things that were this side of, shady. He's very shady, always has been. But if anybody can expose him, it's the team that's been put together. And that's the thing here.
Yeah.
Maybe once and for all, because, you know, I don't believe, and I know better, that all Republicans are mean-spirited right-wing assholes.
No.
They are not.
Right.
No, right.
And the exposure, though, of what the party has become and what is going on in Washington, and it's not just Republicans.
Shine a bright light on it, Mueller. Keep going, buddy.
The brighter the light that gets shined on it, the more exposure. But in the meantime, the country, the people, and the world are suffering under it. And it just goes to show you that there is some validity, some very solid ground that says America is the bright light of the planet.
Yes.
So it's you know, it's a horrible time, but it's the best of times, it's the worst of times.
Well, out of the ashes shall rise something great. I believe that, and we are in an ash period right now, and it's bound to produce something good. It always does.
If we were in an ash period, I'd feel a hell of a lot better. I think the flames are stoking. I just, you know, the destruction is ongoing. And it's Mother Earth who is really bringing it to, you know, that storm. I know you all saw it, but I've grown up with storms, and I know what they are. I've lived through them and everything. I got to tell you, that was a monster storm. Now, I can feel where it's cleared a lot of energy and stuff down here, and there will be the regrowth and all of that, and it's actually going to put into action of a lot of things that had to be changed in the Everglades and such, but and with sugar.
But what a price to pay for it. A lot of injuries, a lot of lives lost, a lot of lives ruined, a lot of economic damage. It's really, really terrible.
And this is what we chose, you know? I mean, I know it's a little irritating, Jack. I hear your thought there. We didn't choose it. We were fighting for the other side.
Right.
We were quite right. But in a collective
we got trapped in all this bullshit.
It's like, okay, so, you know, and now it's a matter of how we ride this storm. And I've had my hand on the helm when the seas are pretty freaking high and you're scared so bad you don't even know if you're going to live. I mean, when the flybridge will touch the wave in the buoyance of that boat, I mean, oh, my God. And that's where we're at. We're in that kind of storm. And or as Jack says, in those flames. And it is Mother Earth and her elements that are her voice that is crying out now. And that storm was the largest thing ever known to human civilization. I don't know if people where would get it. It took all the water out of Tampa Bay. People don't even, and there's so few. I think there's a media stop on those pictures so that people don't freak out. I mean, down here in Florida, we saw it. But here's the thing. It's the same thing down in Puerto Rico, you know? I mean, this mayor gets in the face of cameras and says, you know, we are dying here. And she's right, because it's going to take a while. But do you know how much disease is spreading every day in those stagnant waters?
Let's talk about the old-fashioned malaria and this.
Here's something to consider, too. There's tons of material that's just sitting on the beaches or, you know, the ports. Puerto Rico, and they can't get it out into the interior of the country. That's a real tragedy, and it's symptomatic of very poor leadership down there.
Yes, but I would say, too, that new protocols had to have been written through all of this and war, like they were with Katrina again. But this has been 10 times worse than it should have been as response goes. And let me tell you what, Jack, a lot of those materials, a lot of that wreckage will be put onto barges and taken a mile offshore and dumped.
Dumped in the ocean.
That's a shame, yeah.
No. Hear me out, gentlemen. In 20 years, there will be coral reefs growing on it. Like, we blow up our barges and our ships here to create reefs, and it's those reefs that keep us from getting that horrifying storm surge many times.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she does have a good point, yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's too bad it takes 20 years or better to do that. But,
that's
one of the side benefits of it, I guess, if there can be such a thing.
No, it's what has to happen because, you know, now when they build in Puerto Rico, they're going to build a whole lot differently like they did down here.
Right.
And maybe they'll start using some of this wonderful new architecture and green industry that so many young people are trying to put out there.
Yeah.
I'll bet you Richard Branson put stuff on the island.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, Melinda Gates wrote a letter of threat to Trump a couple of weeks ago saying, you're starting to screw with what I really care about here.
Back up and say that again, because I kind of like the Gates and their philanthropic aspect. What did the letter say to Trump?
Well, the letter said, back off, buddy, or you're going to feel our wrath, you know?
okay.
And that's a considerable bit of wrath, the Gates, because they are.
Yeah, they're pretty mellow people,
As the old-timers say, more money than God, you know?
Right.
They're trying to figure out the best ways to spend it all to help the planet in many ways.
In many ways, that's true.
And in many ways,
they're not hoarding it for hoarding's sake. they're doing something with their money. And in some respects, they're like the Rockefeller, David Rockefeller was, after he'd amassed a huge fortune, he started giving a lot of it away and putting it toward good things like libraries and schools and you name it.
Right, right. And his children followed up on that same philanthropic aspect later on. We wouldn't have Williamsburg, Virginia, the historical site, had it not been for, was it Nelson Rockefeller?
Nelson? It could have been Nelson, yeah.
No.
Yeah, the banker.
Or
the
Jay
banker
or something, yeah, right.
No, it was Nelson. I'm kind of familiar with that side of town, guys. Yeah.
Yeah,
I get shit from my lefty friends because I say, you know, not all people with bank accounts are bad people. They make mistakes. And they don't get there by being nice every time, but they do not crush society down to nothing like
right.
a guy like
her. Right.
So we needed a guy to come along and show us what it looks like when someone who would crush everybody to nothing for his own good is
right.
in a position of power, and that's what we're watching and living on.
I almost think he does it for his own enjoyment, too.
Oh, that's the only time he gets a smile. He lets that nastiness come up and smile.
Yeah, that little smirky smile.
But
I've never seen any president ever in my entire life, or even before that, other presidents, I've never seen them smirk or pout or look so unhappy in my life, ever. This guy has a million expressions of that, and they're constantly coming out.
It's true. I know better. I know that this guy does not lay his head down at night and think good thoughts. He's scared. He knows who he is.
He's scared to death. He's scared to death of the Russia investigation.
I don't think that's it. I think he's scared on a soul level, Jack. Come on, when you go to bed at night,
I don't think he's consciously aware of it, Gwen. I think it's just subliminal to him.
I don't know. I can't really say that for sure, but I know that really mean people, they're the unhappiest people in the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
They really are. We're at the top of the hour, guys. This week, can we have you each tell people where to find your blogs and stuff?
Yeah,
sure.
I'll start off, Jack Jodell. You can see me at the Saturday Afternoon Post. Jack Jodell, that's 2 L's, 53.wordpress.com. And just Google my name and you'll come up with a bunch of Saturday Afternoon Posts that I've had over the years. And I urge everybody every week to keep pushing forward. The only way we can go.
Yeah.
And I can be found at Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. Plus, I have an old blog which has got some very good articles in it that was referred to as the Engineer of Knowledge. Asa Carter, and you'll see how much Asa Carter, the speechwriter for George Wallace, was, and how close it is, me too, of Steve Bannon today. History does repeat itself. Those two are both vital people.
Thank you, gentlemen. Lynn? I appreciate it. And I'd like folks to remember that Here Be Monsters Radio is produced by Daughters of Isis, Inc., which is the ancestor room ecology. It's my way of life, what I do. Please look us up online, thedaughtersofisis.com. It's actually just daughtersofisis.com, and that's Isis, the mother goddess of Egypt, not ISIL, because I get questions from political people about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
You'd think everybody'd know, or at least they'd understand.
Well, we know better, and we want everybody else to know that, too.
That's right, Will.
Really appreciate you gentlemen being on, as always.
Thank you, Gwen, for having us.
It's not my show. It's our show. And it's basically just produced by
Daughters of ISIS.
Daughters of ISIS, that's correct. So until next week, as Jack keeps telling us, and we need to do, we got to be, let's be kind to ourselves this week, okay, people?
I like that. That's a good closing. Let's all be kind to each other.
Make
this
somebody
week.
Else
make
smile for a change. Make it a conscious effort to make somebody else smile.
Very
that
good. Good night, all.
Yeah. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.
This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Sunday.